Today's daf is Chulin daf Hey, and I get shiur after 8:30. Okay, today's daf once again is Chulin daf Hey. We are holding on daf Hey Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. What we went through yesterday was the sheet of Rav Anan, and that's going to continue through the majority of today's daf. The sheet of Rav Anan is that a mumer la'avodah zarah can shecht. The shechita of a mumer la'avodah zarah is a kashra shechita. So we brought a raya from Yehoshaphat, eating from the shechita of Achav, that you see that a tzaddik like Yehoshaphat was able to eat from the shechita of an ovid avodah zarah. So that's a raya that shechita of an ovid avodah zarah is kashra. The Gemara we saw yesterday had 7 rejections of that raya, but none of the rejections seemed to stand in the end. We seem to have addressed all of those rejections, and the raya therefore seems to be a pretty good raya. The Gemara then is going to bring a second raya that you're allowed to be shochet, that an Ovid Avodah Zarah who shecht, that his shechita is going to be kosher, from another story in Tanakh. And then we're going to bring another raya to Rav Anan from a Braisa, and then we're going to try to reject Rav Anan from a different source. So the majority of Amud Aleph is all about discussing the shechita of Rav Anan. Can a mumer la'avodah zarah, can his shechita be a kosher shechita? And then we're going to discuss a mumer l'chala Torah kula, a mumer l'chala Shabbos b'faresya, and whether his shechita is a valid shechita. We're going to have 2 different sources not to take a carbon from a mumer who is from a mumer l'chala Torah, and we're going to explain why we need 2 sources not to be mekabel a carbon. Now it's important to realize, even though we're going to be talking about shechita of a mumar, and we're also going to be talking about carbon of a mumar, the 2 are not necessarily the same. It could be that being makabala carbon is a different issue than shechita. And then we're going to discuss the takana of Rabbi Gamliel not to eat from a shechita of a kuti. That's going to come up on Amud Beis. Rabbi Gamliel made such a takana. So we're going to try to figure out under what circumstances was that takana binding. Was he talking about not to eat from a shechita of a kuti when there was no one omer al gabav? Or was his takana not to eat from a shechita of a kuti even when there was a Yisrael Omer al Gabav, when someone was watching him the entire time? So that's going to be the last discussion on today's daf. So let's begin again. Let's actually pick up 3 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Dalet Amud Beis, because it flows into what we're going to be doing today. So the Gemara, again, had brought the raya that if Yehoshaphat ate from the shechita of Achav, it must be that the shechita of an Ovid Avodah Zarah is kosher. Says Gemara, V'dilma Zavoach Gavri da Achav, Achal Achav V'Gavrei, Zavoach Gavri da Yehoshaphat, Achal Yehoshaphat V'Gavrei. No, maybe Yehoshaphat did not at all eat from the shechita of Achav. Maybe Achav and his people shechted for Achav and his people, and Yehoshaphat and his people shechted for Yehoshaphat and his people. And if you remember, we said yesterday that the assumption is that Achav's people are all Rishayim, and Yehoshaphat's people are all Tzadikim, because people tend to follow their leader. They tend to be very similar in religious observance to their leaders. So says Gemara, no, it didn't work that way, because lo hava maflig nafshe minei. We don't find anywhere that Yehoshaphat tried to separate himself from Achav in any significant way. We don't find that he had 2 separate kitchens, one for Achav and one for Yehoshaphat. It seems that they were very much connected. Minolan, where do you see that they're very much connected? Where do we learn such an idea? If it's because the Pasuk tells us that when Achav proposes to Yehoshaphat that he should go to with him to war in Ramot Gilad, so Yehoshaphat says, Kamoni, Kamocha, Ka'ami, Ka'amecha, Kisusi, Kisusech. So Kamoni, Kamocha, Ka'ami, Ka'amecha. So maybe that's what it means, that we are mamish together in everything, and that we don't make any distinctions. Elameata, yeah, but how do you explain that 3rd phrase? Kisusi, Kisusecha, Hachinami, Kisusi, Kisusecha. That's also about Isser Veheter. That's also about Kashrus. That's hard to imagine. No, obviously, Elameida Haviasusecha, Haviasusi. He's talking about the war effort, that we're both going to put a lot into this more, and therefore the fate of my horses is going to be the same as the fate of your horses. So that's what he was saying when he was saying that I am like you, my nation is like your nation. He's not saying anything about halacha. He's saying we're both going to equally invest in this war effort, and therefore if we fail, we're going to fail together, and if we succeed, we're going to succeed together. Nothing to do with halacha. So you don't see from here at all that Yehoshaphat and Achav were at all connected on a halachic level in terms of eating from the same food. Ela mehacha. Now, how do I know that they connected in a more significant way than just in the military campaign? Because the pasuk says, "Umelech Yisrael, v'Yoshafat Melech Yehuda, Yoshvim Ish Al Kiso, Miluvashim Begadim Bigoren." Pesach Shar Shomron, that they sat wearing their begadim in the Goren by the Pesach of the gate of Shomron. My Goren, what does it mean? They were on a threshing floor. Ilem a Goren mamish atu Shar Shomron Gorenava. If it was mamish a Goren, does that make sense that the Shar Shomron was a Goren? It wasn't a Goren. Ela ki Goren. It means that they were sitting in the formation of a Goren. Ditnan Sanhedrinoisa kechatzi Goren Agula kdeishu. Just like there's a halacha by the Sanhedrin that they would sit in a semicircle, and why did they sit in the semicircle? So that they could see each other, that each of the dayanim would be able to see each other. So too, when Achav and Yehoshaphat and their people sat around, they sat dafka in a semicircle so that they could see each other, they could connect to each other. Rashi points out that each person could hear the other one's argument. That by the Sanhedrin they would need to have a halachic discussion until they arrived at a proper conclusion. Because if they were just sitting in a straight row, not in a semicircle, no one at one end of the row would be able to see the people at the other end of his row. Why didn't they sit in a full circle? Isn't that even better? No, because if anyone had to leave, so it gets very difficult to leave if you're sitting in a full circle, you have to step over people. So it was a semicircle so that there was an open space that they could leave. But the bottom line is, they sat that way in order that they should be able to connect with each other. So you see that Achav and Yehoshaphat connected with each other. Now the Ritva explains that when the Gemara says, Atu Shar Shomron, Goren Ava, do you think that Shar Shomron was a Goren? That the Gemara knew that it wasn't, there was no Goren in Shar Shomron. How did the Gemara know that? Because you're not allowed to make a Goren Samach Le'ir. That's a Sugya Maseches Babasu. The Gemara Babasu talks about things that are a nuisance to the Yishuv, that are a nuisance to people in a community. And you're not allowed to make things that are too noisy, too smelly, anywhere near the city. So a Goren, you have to be Marchik the Goren in the ear, chamishim ama. And even in Chutz Laaretz and Kolshkei in Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep the beauty of the city. There are zoning laws in halacha. They have to make sure that the city maintains its proper appeal, and therefore they don't put a goren right in the middle of the city. You have to be marchik ilanos a certain distance. There are several halachos. And that's how the Gemara knew that obviously by Pesach Shar Shomron, there was not a goren. It would be illegal. You're not allowed to do that. So it must be that it's referring to this semicircle that they sat in. Says Gemara, so it seems, by the way, that at the end of the day, we have a raya from Achav and Yehoshaphat that you're allowed to eat from the shechita of an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Yeah, we had seven rejections of the raya, but we rejected every single rejection. So at the end of the day, it seems that we do have a pretty decent raya from there. That's going to be problematic because we're going to see that we never really addressed this raya when the Gemara proves the other way. But first, the Gemara still continues to prove in this direction. Let's bring another raya that you could accept the shechita of an Ovid of a Mumar Avodah Zarah. Pasuk says, "Va'orvim mevim lo lechem u'basar v'boker v'lechem u'basar be'erev." That Eliyahu Navi was supplied with bread and meat by Orvim, ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. Where did this meat come from? It came from the slaughterhouse of Achav. So Achav is a mumar l'avodah zarah, and here Eliyahu Navi is eating from it. Says Marat Sanaraya, Alpia Dibor Shaini. No, that was obviously Alpia Dibor. That was obviously determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these ravens are going to bring him the meat. So that's that's a different story. You can't bring a raya to what a normal halachic situation from what happens al pi adibur. Tosus in the top Tosus says, and even according to the Havamina, that it was not al pi adibur, says, shouldn't it be problematic anyway? Even if a shechita of an oved avodah zarah was kasher, this is a violation of basar shenesali min ha'ayin, that if you have meat that comes that's not packaged, it doesn't have a seal, it doesn't have an OU, it doesn't have anything that tells you that it was that it wasn't tampered with, that it wasn't switched, so you anyway have a problem of basar shenesali min ha'ayin. So Tosus writes, ki yishlomar dizay yodei ashay somech al pi adibur d'lav mishalov chavim kamaisi avalos al kadai d'chshabah adibur lahatir isur shechitas tabachim da'achav. He says, no, basar shenesali min ha'ayin is a metzius question. Was this switched out? So that he knew he was able to rely al pi adibur. That to rely, similar to the idea of ein somchan al baskal or lo b'shamayimi, that we don't rely on halachic issues min hashamayim, but we do rely on metzius issues. Meaning, if min hashamayim we're told a certain metzius, we do find that we'll rely on that metzius, but not on a halacha. So the idea that a shechita somit chavim is not good, that's a halacha. Basar shenesali min ha'ayin is a halacha that's based in metzius, because we're concerned that maybe it was swapped out for something else. So he knew he could rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu that it wasn't swapped out for something else, but you can't rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu for the halacha. Halacha has to be determined down here. But then the Gemara's maskana is no. Even al pi adibur, it's like a hora ashah that he has that he's allowed to rely on even for this halachic issue. He's allowed to rely that shechita ovid avodah zarah is going to be kasher. Now the very idea that we need a second raya from Tanakh for the idea that you could be shochet, that you could accept the shechita of an oved avodah zarah, is somewhat difficult, because, like we said before, the raya from Achav and Yehoshaphat seem to have been a pretty good raya. So what seems to be a very important maramakom in the sugya that we didn't mention yesterday is, if you look in the Gilyon Hashas on Dalet Amud Beis, Rabbi Kiva Eger, on when the Gemara had said that it's mistama, all of the followers of the Rasha are also Rasha'im, and all of the followers of the tzaddik are also tzaddikim, and that's why the Gemara said that you have to assume that we couldn't accept the rejection of the raya that maybe the Gavri Yehoshaphat were not such great guys, and therefore the people of Achav were able to shecht for the people of Yehoshaphat, and Yehoshaphat himself just ate from the shechita of Avadia. So Rabbi Kiva Eger over there writes, Ein lemeidin min haklalos, that even though generally that's true, followers of tzaddikim are tzaddikim and followers of rishayim are rishayim, ein lemeidin min haklalos, it's not always true. Tzeilumad midorushal yoyakum midorushal tzidkio kedisa percentage dafkov gimel. He says you could find exceptions in history where there were great tzaddikim who were leaders and their followers were rishayim, and therefore the raya from Achav and Yehoshaphat turns out not to be such a great raya, because it could very well be that Yehoshaphat's followers were not tzaddikim and they ate from the shechita of Achav and his followers, and Yehoshaphat himself just ate from the shechita of Avadia. It wasn't so hard for Avadia to shecht for just one person, for Yehoshaphat. So once you understand that maybe that raya of Achav and Yehoshaphat, it's not such a great raya, you understand why the Gemara tries to bring another raya over here, and we're also going to be able to understand why it is that the Gemara might conclude against this maskana. We might conclude that shechita of an oved avodah zarah is not acceptable. So anyway, says the Gemara, my Orvim, what does Orvim mean in this context? Amaravina, Orvim Amish, it means birds, it means ravens. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Minyumi, Vidilma Trey Gravi Dava Shemayu Orvim. How do you know? Maybe it's two people whose name is Orvin. Miloksi, Viargos Orev Bitsur, Orev Azev, that refers to Orev as the name of a person. So if you have two people both named Orev, what do you call them? Orvin, right? You call them by plurals. Like if you have two people named Shimon, you'd call them Shimonim. I don't know if the people do that, but that's the Gemara's assumption, that if their names are Orev, that's what it means, that the two guys named Orev. Amalei, Isramay, Milsud, Isravayu, Amshamayu, Orvin. Really, do you think that's what happened, that there are two people that brought Eliyahu food every day, and they both happen to be named Orev? That's highly unlikely that that would be the case. The Ritva writes, it's highly unlikely that two people brought him every single day, and every single day those two people happened to have been named Orev. Meaning the Ritva doesn't think it's so highly unlikely that on a one-time basis it would happen, that two people happened to bring him food and the name is Orev, because apparently it was a common name, or was a somewhat common name, but not common enough that every single day another two people are going to come and their name is always Orev. So that would be highly uncommon. That's a question. We never heard of that such a name. Why don't we use that name anymore? You know, there's a discussion whether we should use names of behemoths, tomatoes in general. Do we use names of non-kosher animals for people, to name people, like a Zev or an Aryeh, for example, right? And it seems to be Ashkenazi Jews definitely do all the time. Sephardi Jews, I think, do not do it as much, but specifically in Orev. And Orev is referred to as a Rasha in Tanakh. So we dafka avoid naming, you wouldn't name someone Chazir, you know, you wouldn't name someone something that has like a specifically negative connotation, but there are non-kosher animals that are, you know, Miskaber Kaari and Ratz Katzvi and things like that. I'm just saying that because that's mine, Aryeh Tzvi, but you know, those examples. But you have names of animals that in a certain sense we're supposed to view as inspiring creatures, as opposed to an Orev, which in no way is an inspiring creature. Says Mar Vidilma Al Shem Mekoman, maybe they're called based on where they come from. Milo Ksiv Va'aram Yatsu Gedudim V'yashvam Eretz Yisrael Na'ara Ketana, and the Gemara is bothered by the phrase Na'ara Ketana, because that's a stira minehu bei v'kashalon kari la Na'ara v'kari la Ketana. How can you call the same person both a Na'ara and a Ketana? Those are different stages of development. A Ketana is until the age of 12, a Na'ara is between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. V'amar Rabbi Chas Ketana d'minda Oren. No, Na'ara is not the stage of development. It's the name of the place that the person's from. It was a Ketana from Na'oren. So maybe Orvim is also a name of a place. Says Gemara, Imkein Orviyim mi Bayile. Then it should have said Orviyim. That would be the proper way to say it with the extra yud. It wouldn't have said Orvim. Says Tosos, oh yeah? Well, all the time we refer to Mitzriyim as Mitzrim. Why do we do that? If you always need the extra yud, we refer to Ivriyim as Ivrim. Why do we do that? So Tosos says, yeah, because there's no other option of what else that could mean. So Mitzrim, you don't need to go through the tedious process of adding the extra syllable. You could just say Mitzrim, and everyone will know what you're talking about, even though grammatically it's probably better to say Mitzriyim. So, but by Orev, where it's a word that could mean different things, so you would want it to be more clear in terms of what exactly it's referring to. Now, if you look at Tosos, Kari La Na'ara of Kari La Ketana, Tosos points out that Perek Basra de Sota, at the end of Masech Sota, Darish Na'arim Shayimu Na'ura Arim Min HaMitzvos, V'achalo Shayach L'Mitzvah Shachi, that there are times that we'll take the word Na'ar and we'll say that it's not also not referring to an age or a place, it's referring to a characteristic of the person, that the person is emptied, shaken out from any mitzvos, that they're empty from mitzvos. And the Gemara in Sota also makes a similar drasha about a katana. That katana also over there refers to katana yamana, to people who lack in faith. The Rishonim raised the question that we do find that the lashon of katan and nar is used even to describe the same person, even when it's not the same the name of a place. Pasuk in Yishayo, Perek Yudal, v'nar katan noheg bam. So why is the Gemara dafka bothered over here? So a number of the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, they suggest that there's a difference between a nar katan and na'ara ketana. That very often by males we'll find that we'll describe a nar and a katan as the same. By a female, there are very specific categories that are separate from each other. Ketana versus Na'ara. You know, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu is a little baby. The Bas Paro finds him, right? So she opens up the box. Vihine Na'ar Bocha. Na'ar, he's a baby, he's an infant, he's 3 months old. So Na'ar Bocha. So you do find sometimes that someone who's a katan, in from the male sense, is called a Na'ar, even though by females the Gemara is more bothered by it, that it shouldn't be referring to the same person. Okay, Lema Misayele. Now the Gemara says, now let's bring another raya to Rav Anan, who again had said that an Ovid Avodah Zarah's Shechita is going to be kosher. Hakol Shochtim. Bryce says, everyone could check. Vafilu Kuti, Vafilu Arel, Vafilu Yisrael Mumar, a Kuti, an Arel, and a Mumar. So, hi Arel Hechidami. What kind of Arel are we talking about? If we're talking about a guy whose brothers died as a result of a bris milah, Hayisrael Maliyahu, then of course his shechita is good. He's a perfectly good Jew. He's done nothing wrong. It's dangerous for him to get a bris milah. We didn't discuss it yesterday, but Tosfos points out shemesu achem machmas milah on dalaram beis sheni moluk shein gedolim umesu, that it must be talking about where the brothers died from getting a milah when they were already gedolim. Because if they died from getting a milah when they were 8 days old, then it could just be that lo nivla madam yet, that they did the milah when the baby wasn't ready for it. But had you let the baby develop a little further, it would not have been dangerous, and then the sibling would have no excuse not to get a milah when he gets old enough. But if you see that they're what's the disease, hemophiliac. So if you see that they're hemophiliacs and that they're that even at an older age they're just going to bleed out and that it's going to be dangerous to get a milah, then there's nothing wrong with the brother not getting a milah. Ela pshita mumar la arelu. So it must be that we're talking about someone who's a mumar la arelu, someone who doesn't want a milah. Ema seva. But then the seva goes on to say v'afil Yisrael mumar. They can be mekabel from Yisrael mumar. What's the difference between a mumar la arelu and a mumar? Hey, chidami. What does a mumar mean? If mumar means that he there's one particular mitzvah that he rejects, haynu mumar la arelu. Isn't mumar la arelu just an example of that? Why would they be two separate items on the list of people who we can accept a shechita from? A mumar la arelu and a mumar la davar echad. So elolav mumar la avodah zarah. No, when we say Yisrael mumar, means a mumar la avodah zarah. Ah, ukit Ravanan. That proves Ravanan correct. That a mumar for mila, for arelus, you're allowed to accept a carbon from, and also a mumar la avodah zarah, you're allowed to accept a carbon from. So when we say mumar la arelus, it means arelus or any single mitzvah. If you pick any single issue that this guy's got a problem with, you can accept a carbon from him. And then mumar la avodah zarah is its own category. They can even accept a carbon from someone who's a mumar la avodah zarah. So isn't that a raya to Ravanan? Says Gemara, lo, not a raya at all. The olam emelach mumar la avodah zchavim lo. I'll really tell you, mumar la avodah zarah, you may not accept a carbon from. Damar mar, chamura avodah zcham shkolakov barakamad b'kol torah kula. Avodah zarah is so strict that anyone who's kofar b'avodah zarah, it's as if he's being moda b'kol torah kula. And on the negative side, it's anyone who's moda b'avodah zarah is as if he's kofar b'kol torah kula. So elo mumar la oso davar. No, what's it being mechadish me when it says that you can accept a carbon from a from that they can accept the shechita of a mumar? It means even a mumar for nevela you can accept the shechita from ukid Rava, and that was the shechita of Rava that we discussed in yesterday's daf, the great chiddush of Rava, that here's a person who eats nevelos l'tayavon when he's hungry and there's no kosher meat available, he has no problem eating nevelos, and you can even accept the shechita from such a person, from a mumar l'nevelos. So Meisve asked the Gemara, I'll challenge Ravana now. Pasuk says michem v'lo kulchem lo. Yes, a mumar. Pasuk says michem and we darshin velo kulchem. So that tells me that a mumar is excluded. Now this pasuk is not talking about shechita in general. This pasuk is daber al bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleim adam ki yakriv mikem korban la Hashem. This pasuk is about bringing karbanos, but we're equating the two for the time being. So mikem velo kulchem lo tzias a mumar, that you cannot accept a karban from a mumar. Michem b'chem chalakti v'lo b'umos. But, you know, this chilik between someone who's a mumar and someone who's not is only within Klal Yisrael. Amongst the umos ha'olam, we would not be mechalik between a mumar and a non-mumar. If a guy who is a mumar wants to bring a karban, we'd accept a karban from the guy who is a mumar. Mina behema, lahavi bnei adam shedomim lebehema. We're going to discuss this more in Amud Beis, this line, that from the behema, that doesn't just mean that which you're bringing as a karban, it means he who brings the karban could be similar to a behema. Mikanom mekabel karbanos miposhe Yisrael kadei sheyachzu ben b'tshuva. And we see from there that you could even be mekabel karban from poshe Yisrael in order to encourage them to do tshuva. Chutz mina mumar u'menaseh chesiyayin mechal shabbos. The only three people that are Jews that you may not accept a carbon from are a mumar, someone who's menasich yayin, and someone who's mechal Shabbos in a public way. So haguf akasha, it seems like a stira minei ubei. Amrit michem v'lo kulchem lo tzias a mumar. On the one hand, you said michem v'lo kulchem, and that excludes a mumar. V'hadatani mekam l'karbonos miposhe Yisrael. Then in the middle we say, oh yeah, but you're allowed to accept karbonos from poshe Yisrael. Isn't that the same as a mumar? So says Gemara, halo kasha. Reisha mumar l'kala Torah kula, mitziyasa mumar l'davar echad. That you may not accept the carbon from a mumar who rejects all of Torah. And then the middle case, yes, from Poshe Yisrael, that means someone who rejects a specific mitzvah in the Torah. You may accept the carbon from him. Okay, but then the Brisa went on and it said, Ema Seifa, Chutz min HaMumar, Umenaseh Chizyayin Mechal Shabbat Feresya, that you're not allowed to accept the carbon from a Mumar. Hai Mumar Echidami, which type of Mumar is it? It's either going to be a Stira or it's going to be redundant, depending on which type of Mumar you say it is. Because in the Reisha we already said that a Mumar, that a mumar l'kala Torah kula cannot accept this carbon. In the mitziyasa we already said a mumar l'davar echad you may accept this carbon. So who are we talking about in the seifa when we say you have to reject the carbon of a mumar? Imumar l'kala Torah kula hainereisha. If it's a mumar l'kala Torah kula, we already said in the reisha you have to reject it. V'imumar l'davar echad kasha mitziyasa. And if someone's only a mumar l'davar echad, then the mitziyasa said you're allowed to accept this carbon. Why would the seifa say you're not? Elav hachi kamar. Chutz min amumar lin naseh chaseyayin ulechal shabbos peresya. Those aren't three categories in the Seifa. When the Seifa said you're not allowed to accept the carbon of a mumar, menaseh yayin, and mechal shabbos peresya, those aren't three separate things. A mumar lin naseh yayin ulechal shabbos peresya. That's its own category of mumar. We thought there were two categories of mumar. Mumar l'davar echad and mumar l'kal Torah kula. No. There's a third category. There's a mumar for things that are the equal of kala Torah kula, even though they in reality are only a davar echad. Chil Shabbos b'farhesya is only one thing, but it is so important. It is like kala Torah kula. Being menasi chayin lavo d'zor is only one thing, but it's so important. It's like kala Torah kula, and that's the chiddush of the seifa. That when you have a mumar for those things, it's like a mumar l'kala Torah kula. But bottom line is, once we interpret this whole brisa, we see that a mumar l'avodah zarah is a mumar l'kala Torah kula, and therefore you're not allowed to accept karbanos from such a person. And l'chora, if he's a mumar l'kala Torah kula, you can't accept his shechita either. Tiyufta d'Ravam and tiyufta. And that, therefore, is the ultimate rejection of Rav Anan. So again, as we mentioned before, it seems a little bit strange that we reject Rav Anan, because from the story of Yehoshaphat and Achav, it seems that we had a raya to Rav Anan. So you have to say that Rabbi Kivegar and Dalar and Beis, that the raya is not so great, that some of those rejections of the raya may in fact be accepted. Now the Shach in Yerodei and Simin Beis paskins that the shechita of a mumar l'kala Torah is pasul midaraisa, and his raya is from the fact that we darshan pasuk michem v'lo kulchem lahotzias amumar, and we said that's so about a mumar l'kala Torah kula that we rejected. So if it's learned from a pasuk, it's got to be a din daraisa. Rabbi Kivegar just points out in his chidush on Shulchan Aruch over there that would be difficult, because the shita of the Rashba is that a mumar ochel nevelus lahachis, that you watch mitchila v'ad sof, you watch him do the shechita, that the shechita is going to be kosher because he's considered to be a bar zvicha. So the Rashba understands that a bar zvicha is not only someone who believes in mitzvah shechita, it's someone who's mitzuva in mitzvah shechita is considered a bar zvicha. So says Rabbi Kivegar, if that's the case, then a mumar l'kala Torah kula and also a mumar l'avodah zara, how could you say the shechita is pasul in the Torah? They are a bar zvicha. They are most certainly mitzuva in the zvicha, and therefore Rabbi Kivegar disagrees with the Shach, and he says that the psul of a shechita of a mumar is only midrabanan. The brisa that darshins michem v'lo kulchem to be memayit a mumar, that's only talking about karbanos, not to be mekabel karbanos min a mumar. That's a din d'oraisa, but not to accept the shechita of a mumar, that may not be a din d'oraisa. We're using karbanos as a model for kol d'tikun rabanan ken d'oraisa tikunim, that just like there's a din d'oraisa, you cannot be mekabel karbanos from a mumar l'kala Torah kula, the rabbanan are going to make a din that you cannot accept a shechita of a mumar l'kala Torah kula, but in reality those are separate things. We also mentioned in this brisa, before that we get to what the Gemara talks about in this brisa, we also mentioned that there's a difference between a guy and a Jew, that when it comes to a Jew, we'll accept only from someone who's not a mumar, but a mumar l'kala Torah kula we won't accept. When it comes to a guy, he could be the biggest mumar in the world, and we will accept his carbon. Why is that? Why are we more accepting of the carbon of a guy who believes in nothing and rejects everything? So the Achronim explain as follows, that the Panim Iros points out in Chelik Beis and Kufiyotes, you know, the Torah's Mechadesh that a guy could bring a korban. So he says, I don't understand. You know, there's a whole sugya whether kohanim are shluchei d'rachmana or shluchei didan. Whose shluchim are the kohanim when they do the avodah? Are they our shluchim or are they the shluchim of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Well, if a guy is allowed to bring a korban and a kohen is going to do the avodah for a guy, and ein shlichus la'akum, a guy doesn't have any shluchim, so isn't that automatic that the kohanim must be shluchei d'rachmana and not shluchei didan? So the Acharonim suggests, Panamiros writes, that there's a chilik between a Yisrael and a guy who brings a korban. A Yisrael is called a bala korban. The korban is called al shemo. Whereas a guy who brings a korban, the Torah is mechadesh that it is a korban and we're makravit, but he is not the bala korban. The whole issue of whether Kohanim or Shluchei D'Rachman or Shluchei D'Dan is only about a korban that has a bialim. That do we say now that it has a bialim, maybe the Kohen is the shliach of that bialim, meaning a korban of a Yisrael. So the Kohen, but by a guy, where the korban doesn't have a bialim, it's possible that the Kohen doesn't have to be his shliach, and the Kohen is Shluchei D'Rachman. So now we understand what's going on in our Gemara. Only a korban of the Yisrael who's a bala korban will the Torah care about who the bala korban is, if he's a mumar, if he's not a mumar, because this is the korban of this bala korban. But if you're dealing with the korban of a guy, where it's just a chiddush that even though he donated it, it is a korban, but he is not the bala korban. There's this separation between the owner and the korban, so then it doesn't matter who the guy is and what he believes and what he's all about, because he's not the bala korban anyway. The korban is going to be kosher even without him serving as the Baal HaKarban. Good, so then we said that, that there's a difference between a Mumar L'Kala Tarakula versus a Mumar L'Davar Echad, but the Mumar L'Avodah Zarah is the equivalent of a Mumar L'Kala Tarakula. So, and a Mumar L'Kala Shabbos Farasi is also the equivalent of a Mumar L'Kala Tarakula. It's just it's important to point out that in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in Yardei and Simon Beis, that a Mumar L'Hachis, even L'Davar Echad, or a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, or a Mumar L'Kala Shabbos Farasiya, or a Mumar L'Shar Kol HaTorah, even if he's not a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah L'Kala Shabbos, has din of an Avodah Zarah. That last category is important, because what do we say? There's the category of Mumar L'Kala Torah Kula, and then there's a separate category of Mumar L'Avodah Zarah who's like a Mumar L'Kala Torah Kula. Well, isn't that, isn't a Mumar L'Kala Torah Kula by definition already a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah? Because he's a Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula, Avodah Zarah is part of Kol HaTorah Kula, right? And isn't he also a Mumar L'Kala Shabbos? Because that's part of Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's what we showed him explain in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Mumar L'Kala Torah means Rov Kala Torah, that the majority of the Torah. So you could be a Mumar for Avodah Zarah alone, and that will passel you, or a Mumar for everything else but Avodah Zarah and Chil Shabbos, and that also will passel you, because it's the Rov Minyan Ubinyan of Kol HaTorah Kula. But Kol HaTorah doesn't mean Kol Kulo Shel Torah, it doesn't mean every single element of Torah, because that would already anyway be covered under the category of a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah and Mumar L'Chal Shabbos Parasya. And on that issue of Mumar L'Chal Shabbos Parasya, excuse me, the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Lamed, that Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are keneged Shar Kol HaMitzvos. Shabbos is an oath bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu beinenu for the creation of the world. So anyone who violates all other mitzvos is Rishei Yisrael, but someone who's Mechal Shabbos Parasya, it's Kilu he's over Avodah Kochavim U'Mazalos, because he's rejecting the oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And that's why it's Dafka Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesya and not a Mechal Shabbos Bitzina. Because someone who's Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesya is making a blatant statement that what is supposed to be an oath, he is rejecting. As opposed to someone who violates Shabbos Bitzina, he's not being Pogea Ba'os. Why is he not being Pogea Ba'os? Rav Moshe explains in the Tshuva, in Ebn Ezer, Simen Chaf, Anaf Dalid, Rav Moshe writes something. Because when a person Mechal Shabbos Bitzina, just means he has Yetzer Hara. It means he really wants to text on Shabbos. It means he really wants to do, he has Yetzer Hara to do something. But it's not a statement, it's not a philosophical statement about whether God created the world. Being Mechal Shabbos Farhesya is a public statement about the oath that is Shabbos, and that's the whole reason. It's not because of the Chomer Ha'Isser of Chil Shabbos that creates this sense of Chil Shabbos being like Kol HaTorah Kula. No, the Chomer Ha'Isser, there are other Averis that are also Chiv Skila. And Adrabah, it's a more, Ramosha points out, it's a more Chomer Ha'Isser to do privately, L'chora, right? Just like the Gemara distinguishes between a Ganav and a Gazlan, and a person shows, right, he doesn't fear Kodesh Baruch Hu, he only fears people. It's a more Chomer Ha'Isser to do privately. It's not about the Chumras Ha'Isser, it's about what kind of statement you are making by doing the Isser. When a person in the Chal Shabbos Petzina, he's not making any statement other than that he has the Yetzer Hara. When he's Mechal Shabbos for Hesi, he's making a statement that he rejects the oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There's also a discussion in the Achronim, I'm not going to have too much time to get into it, but a discussion in the Achronim, what about a Mechal Yom Kippur? What about a Mechal Yom Tov? Meaning, is Mechal Shabbos just Shabbos, because that is the oath? Or there are other, does the same apply when it comes to Yom Kippur? Kivega raises a suffix about Yom Kippur. When it comes to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Mumar Yom Tovim is not a Mumar, L'Kala Torah, that it's Dafka about Shabbos, again, because of that notion of oath. So anyway, so says Gemara now, bottom line of Hayim and Aleph, V'hameh hacha nafka, mehasa nafka. The idea that we're not Mekabel a Karbim in a Mumar, is this really the source for it? Don't we learn it from the following? Me'ama aretz, Prat l'mumar. Pasuk says me'ama aretz, and that tells us not to be mekabel from a mumar. Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi Yomer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo se'asena bishkaga v'yasham, that he darshins a different drasha. Pasuk says Asher lo se'asena bishkaga v'yasham, that teaches us hashav mi yediyaso may be carbon al shigaso. If a person, had he known that he was doing the avera, would not have done the avera, then he can bring a carbon. That's called a shogeg. Meaning, let's say the guy doesn't know he's eating chalev. Let's say he thinks that it's kosher food, but he eats chalev all the time. So he's not eligible for a karban for eating chalev, even though it happened to have been shogeg. He thought it was kosher, he thought it was a good hashkacha, but he eats chalev all the time. Even had he known it was chalev, he would have eaten it anyway. So that such a person does not bring a karban. Eino shav mi yediyaso, eino maybe karban al shigaso. If he's not shav mi yediyaso, had he known that he had done the avera, he would have done it anyway, so he cannot bring a karban for his shogeg. That's how we see that a mumar cannot bring a karban, because he's not shav mi yediyaso. Varmina mai benayu, and we ask, well, what difference does it make whether you darshan it from me'am ha'aretz, prat l'mumar, or you darshan it based on hashav mi yediyaso versus lo shav mi yediyaso? So varmina mumar lechel chelev evi karban al adam, ikabinayu. Now, if kamina would be, what if a person is a mumar to eat chelev, but he doesn't eat dam? He's grossed out by dam. He wouldn't eat that. He doesn't eat dam. So, but he ate dam b'shogeg. Does he bring a karban for eating dam b'shogeg? He would have been shav mi yediyaso had he realized that what he was eating was dam. He wouldn't have eaten it, but he still me'ama aretz prat l'mumar. So that's what nafkamina, what the drasha is. But bottom line is, there is some other drasha that tells me not to be mekabel karban from a mumar, not just the drasha that we had on Amud Aleph, that michem v'lo kulchem lahotzias a mumar. We have this other drasha, me'am aretz prat l'mumar, or arshav mi'idiyaso. So why do I need two separate drashos to tell me about that we don't accept a karban from a mumar? Says mar chad b'chatas v'chad b'ola. One drasha is telling me not to accept a karban chatas from a mumar, the other tell me not to accept a karban ola from a mumar, tzrichi. And I need a drasha for each one. Diash min chatos mishum del kaparahu. I would think the mumar doesn't deserve a kapara, so I'm not going to accept a chatos from him. Avalola tedorin hu emelikvol minei. But he wants to do something good. He wants to bring a nice gift to Hakadosh Baruch Hu in the form of a karban ola. So what could be so bad? Why don't we accept it from him? Diash min ola. And if you only would have told me that we don't accept an ola from mumar mishum delav chiyuvahu, is because he doesn't have an obligation to bring it. So I might say, you know what? We're not interested. You're not obligated to do it anyway. You have no religious imperative to do this. Aval chatos to chiyuvahu emelikabel minei. But chatos, which is a chiyuv, how can you tell a guy not to do mitzvos? Here you have a person who has an obligation to do something. What, so you're going to go, when Chabad puts tefillin on people, do they first ask, you know, did you keep Shabbos? Are you going to keep kosher? You don't have to give them a bechina. They want to do a mitzvah, let them do a mitzvah. So the guy has this chiyuv. So tricha, that's why I need to be told no. That even though he has a chiyuv to do so, he may not. He may not bring a korban if he's a mumar. So now says the Gemara, you know, parenthetically, we mentioned in that braisa that the word behema, mina behema, is not only talking about that which you bring as a karban, but it's talking about the people who are bringing the karban, that they are poshe Yisrael, they are like a behema, and we see from there that you're allowed to be mekabel karban from poshe Yisrael. So it says Gemara, v'kalecha d'ksin behema griusahi. Is that true that every time we call someone an animal, that's a put down to call somebody an animal? V'ksiv adam u'behema toshiyah Hashem. These are people that are arumin bedas. They're very sly and deep thinkers, and they are mesimin atzman kibehema. They act humble as if they were no greater than a behema. So you see, sometimes referring to a behema is a reference to a compliment to a person. So it says mar hasam ksiv adamu behema. That's when it says adamu behema. Hacha behema l'chudei ksiv. Over here it just says behema. So if you say adamu behema, that might be a compliment. If you say just behema, that's not a compliment. Says mar v'kalecha d'ksiv adamu behema mal yusi. I'm intrigued by that. Every time it says adamu behema, that's a compliment. V'aksiv v'zarati es beis Yisrael zera adam v'zera behema, that it says zera adam v'zera behema, and Rashi points out in Mesechasot daf chav beis lo kara v'lo shana v'lo shimish tamidei chacham malav v'kasav omer v'zarati es beis Yisrael zera adam v'zera behema. Who is it referring to? Someone who's not kara, not shana, not shimish tamidei chacham, meaning a total amaret, someone who doesn't learn mikra, doesn't learn mishnah, doesn't learn talmud. So you see, even though it says adam u'behema, it's still a put down. It's not a compliment. Says Marhasam Achil Kekra Zera Adam Luchud Vizera Behema Luchud. The pasuk splits it. It doesn't say Adam Behema. It says Zera Adam and Zera Behema. So that's why Behema is considered to be put down in that context. Period. Amar Rav Chanan Amar Biyakob Reidi Amar Mishua Ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. New topic. Rav Gamliel Beis Dino Nimnu Al Shchitas Kuti Va'asruha. Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din got together and they decide that the Shchita of a Kuti is Aser. Amar Rav Zeid Rav Yaakov Aridi Shemelo Shama Rebbe Ela B'She'en Yisrael Amin Al Gabav. Maybe that's only if there's no Yisrael watching him. Amalei, Dami Hamir Rabban Kedlog Mirin Shishmaita. It seems like you're not paying any attention in Shir. That's what you think, that it's only when there's no Yisrael watching him. B'shem Yisrael on the Gab of the Meim Rabbi. Would I need Rabban Gamliel and Beis Dino to tell me a great chiddush that if a kuti shechts without anyone watching over him, that it's no good? Of course, that's no good. So says Gemara, Kibluminei or lo Kibluminei? Did he accept that reprimand or not? Meaning, in the end, did he accept this idea that a kuti, even with the Yisrael Lomit al Gabav, is what Rabban Gamliel and Beis Dino voted against? Or is it no? He didn't accept it, and he really holds that only when it's Ein Yisrael Lomit al Gabav that we have a problem with a kuti. So the Gemara is going to bring a raya whether he accepted it or not, but that raya is going to get someone involved and bring us into tomorrow's daf. So Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tashima.